We sat in the darkened hollow pit and watched the shrike kill novelist Sira Robb and her lover. The light level was very low. Sira's middle-aged flesh seemed to glow with a pale phosphorescence, while her much younger boyfriend's white buttocks gave the illusion in the dim light of floating separately from the rest of his tanned body. Their lovemaking was reaching its frenzied peak when the inexplicable occurred. Rather than the final thrusts and sudden pause of orgasm, the young man seemed to levitate up and backward, rising into the air as if Sira had somehow forcefully ejected him from her body. The soundtrack on the disc, previously consisting of the usual banal pants, gasps, exhortations, and instructions one would expect from such activity, suddenly filled the hollow pit with screams. First the young man's, then Sira's. There was a thud as the boy's body struck a wall off camera. Sira's body lay waiting in tragically comic vulnerability, her legs wide, arms open, breasts flattened, thighs pale. Her head had been thrown back in ecstasy, but now she had time to raise it, shock and anger already replacing the oddly similar expression of imminent orgasm. She opened her mouth to shout something. No words. There came the watermelon carving sound of blades piercing flesh, of hooks being pulled free of tendon and bone. Sarah's head went back, her mouth open impossibly wide, and her body exploded from the breastbone down. Flesh separated, as if an invisible axe were chopping Sira Robb for kindling. Unseen scalpels completed the job of opening her, lateral incisions appearing like obscene time-lapse footage of a mad surgeon's favorite operation. It was a brutal autopsy performed on a living person. On a once-living person, rather, for when the blood stopped flying and the body ceased spasming, Sira's limbs relaxed in death, legs opening again in an echo of the obscene display of viscera above. And then, for the briefest second, there was a blur of red and chrome near the bed. "Freeze, expand, and augment," King Billy told the house computer. The blur resolved itself into a head out of a jolt addict's nightmare, a face part steel, part chrome, and part skull, teeth like a mechanized wolf's crossed with a steam shovel, eyes like ruby lasers burning through blood-filled gems, forehead penetrated by a curved spike blade rising 30 centimeters from a quicksilver skull, and a neck ringed with similar thorns. "The shrike?" I asked. King Billy nodded, the merest movement of chin and jowls. "What happened to the boy?" I asked. "There was no sign of him when Sira's body was discovered," said the king. "No one knew he was missing until this disc was discovered. He's been identified as a young recreation specialist from Endymion." "You just found the hollow?" "Yesterday," said King Billy. "The security people found the imager on the ceiling, less than a millimeter across. Sira had a library of such discs. The camera apparently was there only to record, the bedroom follies," I said, "precisely." I stood up and approached the floating image of the creature. My hand passed through forehead, spike, and jaws. The computer had calculated its size and represented it properly. Judging from the thing's head, our local Grendel stood more than 3 meters tall. "Shrike," I muttered, more in greeting than in identification. "What can you tell me about it, Martin?" "Why ask me?" I snapped. "I'm a poet, not a mytho-historian." "You accessed the seedship computer with a query about the shrike's nature and origins." I raised an eyebrow. Computer access was supposed to be as private and anonymous as datasphere entry in the hegemony. So what, I said. Hundreds of people must have checked out the Shrike legend since the killings began. Maybe thousands. It's the only fucking monster legend we've got. King Billy moved his wrinkles and folds up and down. Yes, he said, but you searched the files 3 months before the first disappearance. I sighed and slumped into the hollow pit cushions. All right, I said, I did. So what? I wanted to use the fucking legend in the fucking poem I'm writing, so I researched it. Arrest me. What did you learn? I was very angry now. I stamped satyr hooves into the soft carpet. Just the stuff in the fucking file, I snapped. What in the hell do you want from me, Billy? The king rubbed his brow and winced as he accidentally stuck his little finger in his eye. I don't know, he said. The security people wanted to take you up to the ship and put you on full interrogative interface. I chose to talk to you instead. I blinked, feeling a strange zero-G sensation in my stomach. Full interrogative meant cortical shunts and sockets in the skull. Most people interrogated that way recovered fully. Most. Can you tell me what aspect of the Shrike legend you plan to use in your poem? King Billy asked softly. Sure, I said. According to the Shrike cult gospel that the indigenes started, the Shrike is the Lord of Pain and the Angel of Final Atonement, come from a place beyond time to announce the end of the human race. I liked that conceit. The end of the human race, repeated King Billy. Yeah, he's Michael the Archangel, and Moroni, and Satan, and Masked Entropy, and the Frankenstein monster, all rolled into one package, I said. He hangs around the time tombs, waiting to come out and wreak havoc when it's mankind's time to join the dodo and the gorilla and the sperm whale on the extinction hit parade list. The Frankenstein monster, mused the short little fat man in the wrinkled cape. Why him? I took a breath. Because the Shrike cult believes that mankind somehow created the thing, I said, although I knew that King Billy knew everything I knew and more. Do they know how to kill it? He asked. Not that I know of. He's supposed to be immortal, beyond time. A god? I hesitated. Not really, I said at last. More like one of the universe's worst nightmares come to life. Sort of like the Grim Reaper, but with a penchant for sticking souls on a giant thorn tree, while the people's souls are still in their bodies. King Billy nodded. Look, I said, if you insist on splitting hairs from backworld theologies, why don't you fly to Jacktown and ask a few of the cult priests? Yes, said the king, chin on his pudgy fist, obviously distracted. They're already on the seed ship being interrogated. It's all most confusing. I rose to leave, not sure if I would be allowed to. Martin? Yeah? Before you go, can you think of anything else that could help us understand this thing? I paused in the doorway, feeling my heart batting at my ribs to get out. Yeah, I said, my voice only marginally steady. I can tell you who and what the Shrike really is. Oh? It's my muse, I said, and turned and went back to my room to write.